Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Jim Galante here with me. Greg's still making his way back from Dallas, I believe. I don't know what Greg's whereabouts are right now. So if you see him, report back. Coming back from the Cotton Bowl. Coming to you once again from the Labatt Blue Studio.
The dangerous thought is he's with flounders.
They're not great for each other.
No.
So if you see either one of those, the other one's probably close behind. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We got some actual football to talk about. Penn State 53-39 over Memphis in the Cotton Bowl. Pretty good result. We'll break down all the ins and outs of that. We'll hear from James Franklin as well, what he had to say about not just the game, but looking back on the season as well. Try to get into some of the news or non-news, I would say, with these guys in the NFL draft. As of sitting here right now, we still don't know about KJ Hamler. We still don't know about Shaka Toney. And I'm a little surprised by that. I guess I kind of assumed in between the end of the regular season and the bowl game, that decision is made, and then after the game, you're sharing it.
I think we all got that impression with, especially with the couple announcements, like Freiermuth, who I believe a lot of us thought was ready to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
Him announcing that he was staying, it seemed like there was some momentum going. If you're staying, you're going to announce it early. With Hamler, I thought all of us were assuming we might hear something post-game of the Cotton Bowl. So I'm surprised also.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that as the week goes on, as the weeks go on. I don't know what his timetable is. But for now, we'll talk about the game itself, which 53-39, a Cotton Bowl record for points, 92 total. 396 rushing yards for Penn State was also a Cotton Bowl record. Just a lot of offense in this game. Penn State finishes the year 11-2. That 11-win stretch, I think we talked about this before, 3 11-win seasons out of four, first time since 68-71. So, you know, I think a lot of people who James Franklin can't do any right, you got to put that into some historical perspective here, that Penn State is in a good place.
Yes, they are. But, and I've got to play the cranky old man here just a little
bit. You don't have to play anything. You just be yourself,
Jim. All right, I'll be myself, and it'll still come out that way, right? Let's also remember, they played fewer games back in 68, 69, 70. So a couple of those years were actually undefeated seasons.
Yeah.
So maybe teams should be measured more on their number of losses than the number of wins.
Fair, but the amount of talent in college football in 50 years has grown exponentially too.
I'm not so sure, Dusty. Back in my day,
they walked to and from the stadium. They played both ways.
Exactly. Without face masks, without helmets, or when they started wearing the leather helmets back in my day, Dustin. So those were real men.
Yeah. Either way, 11-win seasons are not an easy accomplishment. Then or now, Penn State's got 3 out of 4. What were your overall thoughts just watching this game unfold in the way that Penn State won it?
Well, first of all, as much as I play the cranky old man, I love the number of points that were going up. And even with a lot of people, I think, confuse excitement with it has to be passing to see those exciting plays. I loved watching Penn State rack up those number of yards rushing. Journey Brown was fantastic. Great to watch. Exciting. But every time Memphis threw the ball, oh my goodness, what is going on with these defensive backs? And it's not new. It's not something new. The missed tackles, the blown assignments on defense. And, at some point we're going to talk about this new offensive coordinator and how things might change offensively. But they've got some things to clean up on defense.
I'm watching this game, and I think the running game and the pass defense are the two biggest themes to probably discuss coming out of this game. I watched the Memphis pretty much do whatever they wanted to do, you know, in terms of throwing the ball. What Brady White finished 454 yards, I think was the number. And it just looks so easy for capable quarterbacks to make plays down the field. And I guess my question is, you know, there are two elements to it. One is your scheme and your defensive approach. And two is the personnel you have. And I just wonder more and more, I think the personnel, Tariq Castro-Fields and John Reed are not lockdown corners. They're not. I mean, John Reed's a good player, a nice player. Tariq Castro-Fields has had nice moments. He's had moments where he looks a little disengaged. But these guys are not first-round pick, just wipe that guy out. You put them on an island one-on-one, they're not locking anybody down. They're going to make some plays. They're going to give up some plays. And so that shifted my thinking to now, is Penn State giving the pass? You know, are they giving the pass to take away the run? Are they saying, okay, you string together 12 completions and beat us?
Well,
if I think there's some of that.
Well, I really hope not, because, well, first of all, I don't think it's one of these zero sum. You're allowed to stop one, but not
right.
or the other,
right.
but not both. And you know, some of this is the size of the cornerbacks. One on one jump ball, they're not going to get. But how many times has it been a blown assignment? I'm looking at you, John Reed.
Yeah.
How many times has it been a short pass and then a missed tackle? And here's one of the things that's concerning to me. I'm looking at the stat sheet from the game, and besides the 400-plus passing yards, this is really concerning. On the stat sheet, it shows the receivers, how many receptions, how many total yards, but also gives the long reception for each receiver.
Yeah.
Let me just read off these numbers for you for Memphis. 41, 30, 31, 56, 27, 25. That's six different receivers who had a reception of at least 25 yards. Now, you know, James Franklin likes to talk about those chunk plays, the explosive plays. Well, there you go. I just read six of them to you.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
But you can if you win. I don't know how else to put it besides that. But and so starting with this topic is not, you know, trying to rain on an otherwise good win parade. But I think if you're talking about fundamentally, is Penn State equipped to take another step forward next year? And I think that's the light we're trying to shine here, is saying, okay, something's got to give on this front.
If you watched the playoffs last weekend, and you watched LSU, Ohio State, Clemson play, what do you think this Penn State's defense would do against those teams? And by the way, that's not unfair to ask that question if this team looks at that as the next step and hopefully even in 2020 reach that level. Well, guess what? You are going to face one of those kind of teams. What are you going to do then if you can't stop Memphis?
If Joe Burrows is throwing seven touchdown passes and a half against Oklahoma, not saying he would do the same thing to Penn State, but it's very curious to me. It seems like there's a lot of thought saying, hey, you know, the pass rush is going to complement the corners and the corners are going to complement the pass rush. But these teams that are actually capable, and Penn State probably plays three or four of them a year that are capable of gashing them, you know, because it's the long stuff down the field. It's the pass interference. It's the holding calls. It's all that stuff. Blown assignments down the field. The safety's probably not getting to where they need to be in time. But it's also those short hitch, slant, crossing things that turn into much bigger gains because there's nobody within 15 yards of them, it feels like. And that feels like a scheme thing.
It does. And I know we're being very negative after a win here, and we didn't plan on that.
No,
it just kind of went this way.
That's where our hearts went, Jim.
But part of this is afterwards, and we're going to hear some from Coach Franklin later in the show, where how often are we going to hear, boy, they had a good game plan for us.
It's true. Let's focus on the positives, though.
Let's.
All right. So, and I'm going to frame it this way. As you're watching this first quarter unfold and you're seeing the advantage that Penn State seems to have in the trenches, and your first run of the game is that Journey Brown, just a phenomenal shoving, just willing himself to the end zone from, I think, 32 yards. And you have one run call in the first 10 play calls, and you sense there's a lack of patience, I think, from fans saying, let's do this already. What are we waiting for? As the game went on, sometimes it's a long game. I mean, a 60-minute game is a long game. Sometimes you just gotta like calm down and let things play out. Because once Penn State got the ball rolling, you know, from a run perspective, they did whatever they wanted in this game.
I'm glad you decided to make it positive, and all of a sudden you point out that they weren't calling enough running
plays.
We'll get
positive sooner or later. But I think, and if you're following the beat writers on Twitter, that was only going to increase your lack of patience. Everybody is saying, what are you doing?
Exactly. And first of all, I'm going to go positive here. With that first run from Journey Brown, oh my goodness. We all knew he had the speed, you know, that breakaway speed. He's a track guy. But I walked away from that run going, oh my goodness, did he, not only was he strong, but how hard he ran. And tremendous. It really gave me, we talked on our show with Ross and Andy last week, and Andy asked, does Journey Brown have another level to reach? I think we saw that next level from 100%. Him, didn't we?
100% we did. And I think, you know, as the year went on, better and better and better and better. He went from a guy, for me, like I thought, okay, you give him an opening, he's got that long speed to get through it and then some. You know, he was always Penn State's best candidate for that. But to see him, I mean, that's one of the best things you could have seen in this game, I think, is for him to stiff arm, muscle his way out of tackles, break tackles, run hard with some, you know, that violent running style. I think we absolutely saw Journey Brown hit another level. And I don't know where things are going with the running backs, but Journey Brown is the best running back Penn State has. And I really do think it's just the beginning.
It does appear that way because he keeps improving. But the nice thing is, going into the season, I think most of us agreed he appeared to have the lowest ceiling. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. And by the way, I still think so highly of the other three.
Yeah.
I don't think they did anything coming back. I think Journey Brown just made the step forward.
He did, and I think Penn State's going to stay committed to using a bunch of backs, and they need to be because they've got two more good ones coming and some vibes now that maybe all four of these guys are coming back next year. So what? Get used to it. Maybe see a leader in this backfield, but everybody's going to get fed at some point or another. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to come back with more Cotton Bowl right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift for the Penn State fan in your life? Then you have to go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out the Tailgate Christmas gift box, filled with their famous sauces and rubs and even a Tailgate Club apron, all in a gift box shipped directly to you. And for a 10% discount, be sure to use code KSN on checkout. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and don't forget to use the code KSN on checkout for a 10% discount.